time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It is time for this week's Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Shannon Lee.
So, Gordon, remind us of the clue.
Well, listeners may know that I have written two books based on this series, and I'm preparing to write a third and probably final volume of Abandoned Manitoba. I'm presently doing research for its chapters. Last week, I visited the National Archives in Ottawa, and I thought listeners might be interested to know what archival research entails.
So why do you have to go to Ottawa to research Manitoba history?
Well, normally, I can do all the research I need to do right here at home. But in cases where the federal government was involved at a particular historic place, the information I need may not be here. In this case, I was digging further into a story we discussed in Abandoned Manitoba back in September of 2019. Small underground bunkers where, in the early 1960s, measurements of radioactive fallout would be taken after the beginning of a nuclear war. There were over 200 of them around Manitoba, and construction was coordinated by the Department of National Defense. Hence, records pertaining to them were in Ottawa.
What's the process? So how does one do research at the National Archives?
In the past, there was not much one could do before arriving at the National Archives. When you got there, you would check out what were called finding aids, and they would direct you to possible sources of information. Now, most of those finding aids have been transferred to an online database. So the first step is to visit the website of Library and Archives Canada and search their databases using pertinent keywords. In my case, I started that process about a month before my arrival in Ottawa. And it's a good thing that I gave myself the lead time.
Now, why is that?
Well, the National Archives is the largest collection of archival records in Canada. And most of its records are not stored in the archives building on Wellington Street. A lot of them are held in a warehouse across the river in Gatineau, Quebec. It can take several days to have materials retrieved from storage. And in some cases, some of the documents that I wanted to see required ATIP evaluation.
What is ATIP evaluation?
ATIP stands for Access to Information and Privacy. Most records created by the federal government are open for all to see, but some materials that are deemed potentially harmful to Canada's security or economy, if they were divulged publicly, are off limits. Determining if a particular record is accessible is the point of ATIP. A Canadian citizen or permanent resident can request to have potentially unavailable records evaluated, and if they are determined to be not harmful, they then can be shown to a researcher like me. For example, most of the records that I wanted to see during my visit last week were created by the Department of National Defense. Several of the documents from the early 1960s that I eventually got to see were in folders marked secret with a thick red border around their edges. But of course, a secret in 1962 is often not a secret in 2022. So I was always glad when ATIP evaluation worked in my favor.
So how many of the items that you wanted to see were actually available?
Well, I asked to see 20 specific collections of documents. Of those, 11 were identified as open, so I had no trouble obtaining access to them. Although, unfortunately, in one case, I made a mistake in writing the access number for it, so the archivists brought the wrong item from storage. There wasn't time to find the right item, so I never did get a chance to look at that particular file. Three other collections were identified as being restricted, but they had already been ATIP evaluated sometime in the past, and they were now open. So there was no problem looking at those. Two more were still restricted and required an ATIP evaluation, but unfortunately, there just wasn't enough time between when I requested to see them and when I arrived in Ottawa. So in the end, I never did get to see those. Three other collections were in the process of being moved over to Gatineau. And although they were opened in principle, they will not be accessible until the fall when they arrive in their destination. And finally, one of the collections, it turned out, had been digitized and it's freely available online. So I did not need to see the original. I started preparing for my visit to the archives a month ahead. And that simply wasn't enough time. But all in all, I was satisfied with what I was able to see during my visit. There was, however, another reason that I needed to get started on the research well ahead of time.
Oh, what was the reason?
Well, even if the materials you want to see at the National Archives are all open, you can't simply have them retrieved from storage and show up to see them. You have to make a reservation for a limited number of places in what the archivists call a textual consultation room. That's where you look at the materials you've requested, always, by the way, under the watchful eye of the archivists to prevent any damage to the records if you do something wrong. Reservations for the consultation room are made online, starting 2 weeks before the date when you want to be there. Luckily, I had no trouble getting reservations. Once you arrive at the archives building, you leave your personal effects, you know, your coat and so on, in a locker downstairs, and you bring only your laptop and your notes into the consultation room in a clear plastic bag. You must wash your hands carefully before going into the room so you don't damage any documents you touch. Of course, no drinks or food is permitted, absolutely forbidden. If you want to make written notes, only pencils can be used, never pens, because, of course, you can erase pencil. You can't easily erase a pen. And if you want to take photos, you must get permission and show your letter of permission on the table while you're working so that the archivist can always check to make sure that you are permitted to take photos. Well, I did. I wanted to use my camera, so I submitted my application several weeks ahead of time.
In the end, what did you find?
Well, I looked through hundreds of pages, and when I found one that had useful information, I made a copy. The archives staff had loaned me a small tripod in which I mounted my cell phone. I positioned the tripod over the page, and it kept the phone steady so that the photos I took turned out really sharp and easily readable. I photographed about 400 pages in the course of my 2 days at the archives.
Wow. So what are you going to be doing with the information you found?
Well, I took the photos of pages rather than handwritten notes so I could read them after I got home, and I could digest them slowly over time. And I'm working on that right now. Now, again, my research was on the radiation monitoring posts built around Manitoba in 1961 and in 1962. And the whole point of them was to measure fallout in the aftermath of a nuclear blast. So I hoped that I would find at the National Archives a full list of the posts built in Manitoba, either in the basement of government-owned buildings or underground. And I hit pay dirt. One of the files I found that was dated the 1st of July, 1963, provided a full list. I now know the location for each post. I know the type of structure it was, when it was built, at what cost. And in some cases, I even know the type of radiation monitoring equipment it contained. I was particularly interested in this last detail because last fall, I bought on eBay a Cold War era radiation meter. And it turns out that meter is exactly like the ones that were deployed in these fallout reporting posts.
So do you plan to go back to the National Archives?
Absolutely. Several other chapters in my next book will benefit from research there. You know, despite the challenges and restrictions that I encountered, I had a very productive 2 days at the National Archives. The staff were universally friendly and helpful. And, you know, it was just so much fun reading secret government files from the 1960s.
Yeah, all those secret envelopes. Look, I wish I could have seen them. So, Gordon, what's up next time?
Well, next week, we're going to do things a little differently here on Abandoned Manitoba. We will talk about people in Manitoba who did things for the first time. And I will challenge listeners to guess when each of those things happened. And I think there'll be a few surprises in store.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one. Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
That was Gordon Goldsboro with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province. And you can see photos of the abandoned places that Gordon talks about every weekend on the Manitoba Historical Society website, mhs.ca. Just click on quick links in the top left-hand corner. And if you have any information for Gordon, you can reach him at 204-474-7469.